None of us dress nice for God. None of you will ever be able to dress nice enough for God. Get that? It's only Christ's robes that cover you. Do I think that drives me now in how I approach God since I've come into the most holy place? Oh, yeah. I come now with real reverence. I come now with real godly fear. And because I'm clothed in his righteousness, that boldness does not mean carelessness.
Wrapped in his righteousness, the robes of righteousness. Hi there, and welcome. Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon is coming your way right now. Our time today will take us back to the book of Exodus, chapter 27, verses 20 through 46. It's a look at a priest forever, the order of the Levites, and the significance. Here's Chris.
Now, you'll notice that the immediate emphasis here is placed on his garments. There's so much detail given to this. In verse 2, that's what he says. And you shall make holy garments for Aaron your brother. Notice this. For glory and for beauty. And you shall speak to all the skillful whom I've filled with the spirit of skill. All this constructing of the tabernacle and everything that we read tonight, the Lord filled people with his spirit to accomplish to the precise detail everything that he had commanded. Isn't it remarkable how detailed God is in all of this? I want it to be holy, and I want this dress to be glorious, and I want this dress to be beautiful. Beautiful. I want clothing that symbolizes that these men are set apart by me. That when you looked at them, you saw radiance. You saw beauty, God's kind of beauty. The robes were full of all kinds of colors of gold. Blue, purple, scarlet thread, fine linen. Great dress. These were the best dressed guys in Israel, let me tell you. It was better than the men's warehouse, I promise. When you looked at them, they embodied the tabernacle. They were servants of the Lord. The design was saying something to Israel. When they saw this, they were learning something about God that enabled to serve before him, enabled to become before him and do the work in the tabernacle on behalf of the people, which is what the service was. The very servants of the Lord had to be ordained or adorned with the very things that spoke of his glory and his attributes. In other words, they were set apart as holy. They were to be beautiful before him. They had to be glorious in his sight. They were entering the holy place. So important. They were entering the holy place. Look at all the detail. I think a real clear message is they didn't just barge into God's presence. They guarded their steps very carefully in coming before the Lord. They were doing one of the most important things. What were they doing? They were ministering on behalf of the people. You'll see in verses 20 and 21 of chapter 27, the very end there of chapter 27, that one of their responsibilities was to care for the golden lampstand. You'll notice that. Remember, that lampstand was always to be kept burning. That light was always to be kept burning from evening until morning. It was a statute forever. So they were up in the long hours of the night. They were always watching that lampstand to make sure the thing was burning. He was ensuring that somebody was always ministering on their behalf. Think about this for a minute. God was ensuring and teaching the people somebody was always ministering for them on their behalf. Late hours of the night, tending to that lamp, keeping it burning. What a weighty office it was, wasn't it? The people were to encourage them. People were to pray for them. In their calling, they were set apart to represent them before God. That really does fit Psalm 134, doesn't it? Praise the Lord, all you servants of the Lord who minister by night in the house of the Lord. What a view. The priests, they ministered these things, and they stayed up at night keeping the fire burning, and the people understood that the Lord God had set them apart to offer what? Well, continued praise and intercession to God for them. The principle still stands today. Many writers have noticed this, that pastors and elders and deacons are set apart to minister all these blessings of God to you, to serve you, which in turn trains the people to serve one another. The whole priesthood was to be held in high esteem by God's people. Now here's where it gets really glorious. It already is. On the priests were to go, notice this, a breastplate that was adorned with gemstones over his chest. And then was a ephod, which was really a kind of overall with straps, and that went over the breastplate, and it was tied to his waist. And there, these were the outer garments. And then you'll look down and you'll see that under that he wore a robe, a tunic, and linen underclothes. In verses 9 through 16 or 13, you'll notice these stones were set in gold and were put on the shoulders of the ephod as memorial stones held by gold chains or these cords. On the stones were the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. 6 on one shoulder, 6 on the other, beautifully on the shoulders of the priest. Now think about this for a minute. On the shoulders of the priests were engraved, verse 9, the names of the sons of Israel. Right here. Engraved. In the order of their birth. There's an interesting word that he uses in verse 12, and you shall set the two stones on the shoulder pieces of the ephod as stones of remembrance for the sons of Israel, and Aaron shall bear their names before the Lord on his two shoulders for remembrance. So, the imagery here is this. That the priest symbolically, when he put on his robes, he put on Israel. And he lifted up the 12 tribes of Israel on his shoulders and he carried them to God. It's beautiful. He was representing the people through his priestly actions and all the sacrifices that went on. He was carrying, notice this. It's amazing. He's carrying. The priestly function was to bear the sins of the people on his shoulder, and they were the names of Israel engraved right there as he carried them into the presence of God. Notice the breastplate in verse 15. You make this breastplate of judgment. Colors are all the same. Then it goes on to describe these four rows of these precious stones, sardis, topaz. In the first row, emeralds. The second, turquoise, sapphire, diamond. The third row, and I really worked on pronouncing these, and I know I butcher them, even though I worked. Jacinth? Agate? I got that right. I know I did. Amethyst? Fourth, beryl? Onyx? Jasper? Those are easy. Then he describes all this detail of how it's to be fastened to the ephod. The breastplate was adorned with gemstones and it went over the high priest's chest and was attached to the ephod by these two chains or ropes. Notice again, verse 21, the breastplate had the names of the children of Israel. Gemstones spoke of what? Well, it's just beautiful. They were precious in his sight. I'll come back to that. The placing of the breastplate conveyed something to the people over the chest. Look at verse 29. of chapter 28. So Aaron shall bear the names of the sons of Israel in the breastplate of judgment on his heart when he goes into the holy place to bring them to regular remembrance before the Lord. He bore on his heart God's people to bring them before the Lord for remembrance. That's beautiful. On his heart. He bore on the shoulders, he carried their sins. On the other, he wore their names on his chest, signifying, these people are close to my heart. It's repeated three times. Close to the heart, close to the heart, close to the heart. The priest didn't just bear the sins in some kind of cold, abstract manner. God wanted it known. He had set these men apart to demonstrate his love for Israel. And that love was shown through his servants. And they loved doing one other great thing. The responsibility of the priest also was to communicate the will of God to the people. That's how you determine love today, by the way. Is the servant willing to tell God's people the truth? Does the pastor and the elders and the deacon care to communicate the truth, even when it stings? One of the ways that the priests communicated was through the Urim and the Thummim. There were stones so that through the breastplate, the will of God could be determined. God in various times and in different ways spoke in times past. In other words, the leader would go to the priest with a question and something that was impossible for them to know. And the priest, carrying that matter on his heart, would inquire of the Lord on their behalf. And God would give an answer and communicate to the people. They would be instructed in righteousness. That was the purpose of the breastplate. Now, you'll notice in verses 31 to 43, just taking a jet tour through this, that he describes the rest of the priestly garments. They had to wear a robe of blue with little bells and a pomegranate fruit. A linen turban to go around Aaron's forehead with a gold plate that rested on the turban that said, Holy to the Lord. And underneath, they had to wear a little tunic of a long garment that went down to the ground, was a fine linen. And he describes the undergarments. They're just little boxer shorts, you'll notice, that cover their nakedness. Gives a reason for this. One of the purposes of the robe with the bells was to announce when the priest was entering into the holy place. Think about that. He would jingle. Ding, 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 ding. Here he comes. Ding, 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 ding. Did you catch verse 35? Why? And it shall be when he ministers, and its sound shall be heard when he goes into the holy place before the Lord, and when he comes out, so that he doesn't die. Wow, you aren't barging in. He wanted things very carefully done. The priests had to be very careful in their service, didn't they? This is a brief description tonight of Aaron and his sons decked out in priestly garb to represent the people. There's so much more to spend on tonight. However, I want to get to this. Hebrews says that if perfection were through that priesthood, what further need was there for another priest who would rise up according to the order of Melchizedek and not be called to the order of Aaron? What was wrong with it? Well, you really get a good picture in Zechariah. You know the passage. Then he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing on his right hand to oppose him. And the Lord said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire?" Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments. That's this. The best garments didn't cut it. And was standing before the angel. And he answered and spoke to those who stood before him, saying, "Take away the filthy garments from him." And he said to him, "See, I've removed your iniquity from you, and I'll clothe you with rich robes." And I said, "Let them put a clean turban on his head." So they put a clean turban on his head, and they put clothes on him. You tell me what that's all about. You know. What did Jesus do for us? Well, he's the great high priest, isn't he? He was the one who came, and he carried on his shoulders all of our sins. This is what Isaiah 53 is describing. He bore our iniquities. He carried them. He carried them right to the cross and nailed them there. He did. You don't nail them. So that when he paid the penalty was paid. We paid the penalty because he represented us. And he's not a cold, careless high priest. This high priest is able to sympathize with us in all of our weaknesses. Why? Why is he able to do that? In other words, he cares a lot about you. He carried you in his heart. Ponder that one tonight. You. Now, I'm not just saying he died for our sins. No, he carried you close to his heart. You mattered a great deal to him. That's what Hebrews is talking about. We have such a high priest who's fitting, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separated from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens, who does not need daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once for all when he offered up himself. For the law appoints as high priests men who have weakness, but the word of the oath, which came after the law, appoints the Son, who's been perfected forever. Now this is the main point of the things we're saying. We have such a high priest who's seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord erected and not man. He prays for you. He bears you up. He carried your sins. And he constantly intercedes on your behalf. And he prays for you, helping you in all of your weakness. And he always lives to make intercession. He never goes to sleep. Tonight you're going to go to sleep. He's doing that for you then. That's your Savior. Why? Well, I want you to think about this and we'll close tonight. In John 19, Jesus is going to the cross. You know what the soldiers did to him? When they crucified Jesus, they took his garment. And they made four parts, listen to this, to each soldier a part. Then it says this, and also the tunic. Now the tunic was without seam, woven from the top in one piece. You know what he's wearing? By saying he's wearing that, John wanted everyone to know that the very undergarments the high priest wore were worn by Christ all the way to the cross. And that this high priest offered his own body on the cross, was stripped, naked, paid for the sins, so that today he could cover you in those robes. None of us dress nice for God. None of you will ever be able to dress nice enough for God. Get that? That kind of solves the dress issue, doesn't it? It's only Christ's robes that cover you. Do I think that drives me now in how I approach God since I've come into the most holy place? Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I come now with real reverence. I come now with real godly fear. I come now because I have access and because I'm clothed in his righteousness. That boldness does not mean carelessness. It means that the outer dress and my outer life, now I'm being sincere because I know I've been sincerely loved by one who cared enough in his heart to carry all my sins to the cross for me. And when you come to worship with that kind of perspective, with that kind of simple trust, you are worshiping in spirit and in truth and in a way that pleases him. Let's thank him tonight. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word today, again, inspired by the Spirit. And we see what 2 Timothy says, that all scripture is given by inspiration of God, all scripture, and is profitable, especially Exodus 28, which teaches us of the righteousness that we ultimately need. Thank you, our faithful and true high priest, lives to make intercession for us so that we have this kind of access. Thank you for the love you've shown and the care you've given, and that ultimately we're never left without the care of a Savior who constantly lives to make this intercession and bear us up on his heart before the throne. It's a marvel to think about tonight. But may then we greatly appreciate the ministry you've put in place. And may us who have been called apart to this as pastors and elders and deacons give ourselves to love the people, to pray for them, to serve them, and to speak the will of God in a way that pleases you. Thank you for bearing up your people, for carrying them on eagle's wings and bringing them to you, for loving them. May they take this week and go in your confidence and in your joy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Oh, a marvelous look at the Levitical priesthood and the shadows of this priesthood that find their reality in Christ, and a real encouragement to you and I today. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. We do thank you for joining us today. As always, it's a pleasure spending time with you here in God's Word. If you have questions, comments about the broadcast, we would love to hear from you. As always, we spend time here on Abounding Grace Radio encouraging you in Christ, challenging you in your walk and relationship with Him, which means questions will abound. You can reach out to us at 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. Or address your questions to questions@agradio.org. If you would like to use your voice memo app, record your question for us and then email it, again, to questions@agradio.org. Now, a great place for resources can be found on our website, agradio.org. If you'll visit that website, you'll also find links to our other platforms, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, as well as recent articles written by Pastor Chris, especially as it relates to current cultural conditions that we find ourselves in the middle of. We also have videos available that Pastor Chris does with other pastors, and we also have an archive of past radio programs that have aired on this radio station, all at agradio.org. Finally, we do continue the ministry here on this radio station because friends and partners such as yourself come alongside us financially and prayerfully. We would love to hear from you. You can reach out to us and make a secure donation online at our website, agradio.org, or call 888-504-8805. 8805. You would prefer to make out a check to Abounding Grace Radio. And these are all tax-deductible donations, by the way. You can write to us with that check at Post Office Box 732, Linden, Washington. 98264 is our zip code. Thank you for joining us today. We look forward to seeing you next time we get together for another broadcast of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.